You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Hello again. So South Africa has entered into 8 agreements with China following the attendance of a delegation led by President Cyril Ramaphosa of the Forum for China-Africa Cooperation, a summit between China and all the African countries, which the President of the Republic has held as successful. From the export of manufactured goods to beef, government officials are optimistic that the trade imbalance between Beijing and Johannesburg will be reversed through these agreements. So what is different this time around, you may be wondering? Well, Wolf Brody is with the Agriculture Business Chamber of South Africa. Thank you very much, Wolf, for your time this evening. Maybe let's start with exactly that. What is different this time around, more so maybe for your sector?
No, thanks very much. Yeah, I much appreciate the chance to have a chat. I would say that for us the biggest difference is that we went in with a very specific list. And, the last FOCAC was held in 2021. That was during the COVID era, of course. And, during COVID, it was extremely difficult in terms of getting exports out of the country into China. There was virtual inspections. There were incredibly strict COVID regulations. The volume of trade was impacted. The procedures were very difficult. So for this FOCAC, we actually then caucused amongst the agricultural sector, and we said, what are the barriers you're experiencing? We went in there having briefed Minister Steenhuisen. We then left our government ministers, Minister Tao, Minister Steenhuisen, and their senior officials to go into the negotiations. And some of our CEOs went across, and I was across there as well. So we had beef sector, citrus sector. But we ended up with some very practical outcomes, which is very helpful around beef, around dairy, around wool, around pet food. And we're looking forward to nailing down some more in the gap between now and next year's G20 meetings, where President Xi will come to South Africa.
Mm. When you speak of difficult procedures, more so in moving goods, currently China bans all South African beef imports. That is in the event diseases such as foot and mouth break out anywhere in the country. But this time around, with the signed deal, they have agreed that in future they will block beef imports only from the region in the country where the disease occurred. A welcome move?
Yeah, no, very much so. You know, internationally, that's generally the rule. You don't do a blanket country ban. You ban the export from the region or district where the outbreak occurs. And it's something that is most welcome. You know, we had the general ban lifted in August last year, but this then finalizes it and definitely gives a green light to that process. And that means the South African beef sector can then export, you know, from other regions in the country where it's free of foot and mouth disease, etc. And this is also very welcome because we're seeking the same outcome for our pork sector, for the exports to China. At the moment, there's disagreement between South Africa and China in terms of the same process, the same principle. So what we'd like to see is that bans are placed on regions where there's animal health issues around pork, and then for the other regions that are disease-free, we can export to China. And of course, China is a fantastic pork market. You know, they have an amazing variety of pork dishes. It's really a part of the food culture, and it's something that could really, you know, revitalize and boost our pork sector in South Africa. Mm.
The president also mentioned that these meetings, if you will, are aimed at addressing the trade imbalance, which is something that doesn't necessarily impact the agricultural sector. But what has been the level of engagement with your stakeholders for the long term?
Well, you know, we are blessed with a positive trade balance with China, and that means we export more than we import, and that's partly due to the quality and the reliability of the South African supplies, and it's especially it will actually be even more in our favor now with the entrance of the beef and the other exports into China. But in terms of the overall picture for agriculture, what we're seeing and what we expect to see more of is that the commodities, various commodities, will increase production, and those increases in production will, instead of going to the EU, the US, or the UK, will be channeled and funneled into China, and where there's similar protocols being signed in India and Japan, they'll go into there. But the Chinese market is so massive. I mean, for example, as an anecdote, there's a colleague telling me that for For citrus, that if the Chinese market went up by 1% in terms of demand for citrus, that's equivalent to the entire consumption demand of Germany for South African exports.
And when we talk short term, I guess, with your deliberations, when you go back to your stakeholders and telling them this is what transpired in China, are you able to share with us what it is that we can expect in the short term, at least, if anything at all?
Well, you know, this has been on the table as a negotiation point for months, if not years, for the commodities, what we'll very likely see is almost immediately a response. I mean, not within weeks, but I would say within months. Like, let's say, looking at beef, for example, since that ban was lifted in August last year, in the 6 months to date, first two quarters of this year, it's been the biggest jump in beef exports of these two quarters in the last 8 years, you know, of a comparable 6 month period. And it's really also due to the Saudi agreement that was reached with Saudi Arabia, the similar sort of agreement on phytosanitary protocols. But you can see the response. That Saudi agreement was signed in late 2022, and then it was finalized early 2023 in terms of the nuts and bolts. So there's about a sort of a half a year to a year lag, and then you really see things ramp up. And in terms of beef, you know, we'll have to get a sense of the consumer preferences. I believe the colleagues already know exactly where to pitch their products. So it's going to match of tweaking what we put out there. But I think very shortly, you know, Avos, for example, are also going to China for the first time now in September. Mm. It's really good news. It's the first shipment going in. So 6 months to a year's time, we'll see a real boost in exports going out. And that will translate into money in the pocket for South African growers and South African farmers and you know, beef and dairy farmers.
Mm. Avos, it is obvious. And for meat lovers, it is obvious. But maybe you can share with us, what is it about our meat that is so attractive?
Well, we actually now have an interesting challenge ahead of us, because the Chinese preference in terms of meat is for a more marbled meat, a meat with a higher fat content than we traditionally export. Mm. Now, New Zealand meets that requirement quite nicely, and they have the advantage of airlifting because they're right next door. But essentially, we have to then focus, you know, our exports on a particular segment in the market. And for China, the best thing to do is to focus on the high end of the market. And so what that means is that we have to adjust the timeline in terms of the fattening of the calves and the weaners on our side. And it's going to be industry sort of commercial calculations in terms of what's going to bring the best return and what's the best, most cost efficient. But in China, there's very specific tastes around beef that then we will match, because beef has not traditionally been a huge product in China, because decades ago, the government had pretty much bans on beef consumption, because cattle were valued for their use in agriculture to pull plows and etc. That's why pork is so widely consumed, and not so much poultry and not so much beef. But we can definitely meet those consumer preferences in China. We have the capacity, and definitely have the capacity within our beef sector. The guys are very very capacitated.
Absolutely. Does that then mean that there's room, or more room is being created in the market for new players to enter? In South Africa, at least.
Yeah, no. This is what we hope will happen, because you know there's any number of export development programs across the various commodities, both plant and animal, and there's small scale grower development programs, and of course the returns from export markets are traditionally better than local returns. The local market is more stable, risk free, especially with our logistics challenges that we have and getting stuff off out the ports. But still, at the same time, to be able to get into a solid export channel, like, for example, into the EU market, has always had a better return, for example, in the fruit sector. And it's really good news for emerging growers, and particularly also because we have a lot of state land that is getting released and is going to be coming into production. And we have a lot of plans between land bank and industry and government in terms of how to increase actually the area under production. And just in terms of land that, you know, over the decades has gone out of production, that could be brought back into production. What you need for something like that is you need demand. And the local market is pretty much saturated. And then at the same time, all of the food commodities, for example, have production increases in the pipeline. With citrus, it's up to like 25%. With grapes, you're talking about up to about 7. With the deciduous, you're talking into double digits as well. All of the commodities have been planting and growing new trees, young trees, and those are now coming to fruition. With citrus, in fact, they have a plan to add another 100 million cartons by the early 2030s. And all of that is reliant on government and industry opening up export markets. Okay. And that's why we really are very thankful to both Department of Agriculture and Department of Trade and Industry and DIRCO and the respective ministers and President Ramaphosa, because, you know, it is tough negotiations. You don't get anything for nothing. And our partners, the Chinese, of course, want to see value for what they concede on. So we're very glad to have come away with practical commercial realities in our hands.
While the administrative processes are taking place, when you speak of demand more so, or rather, maybe you can tell us about the intricacies of meeting demand, more so when it comes to what? It hasn't rained maybe in Gauteng, at least for Yongs. We can't remember the last time we had rain. So situations that are outside of your control, right? Like the weather.
Yeah. You know, this is the thing about farming. That's why they always say that farming is something that's not for you know, it's not something that's easily undertaken. Mm-hmm. You know, modern farming is also very complex. It's a whole value chain. There's a lot of services and elements that go into modern farming, especially in the South African context. But at the end of the day, you know, you can get everything right and then zap, there's hail. And you're like, you know, you wake up, you're like, really? There's only so much you can do. You can be insured. And it's just like, bam, you're gone.
Sure.
And you've got to have the resilience to get up and say, okay, on we go. At the same time, that's not a consistent pattern. You don't get constant disasters in agriculture. You get these things that appear out of the blue. But at the same time, it also doesn't mean that an entire industry is flattened, or that, you know, you lose your entire blueberry crop for the whole country, or your entire citrus crop. Like with the floods in the Western Cape, there were only portions of production that were flooded and damaged. And same with hail. But at the same time, it means that you have fluctuations in supply. But fortunately, South Africa is such a significant agricultural producer. Most people didn't realize that, you know, we, for example, the second largest citrus producer exporter in the world. We're the largest macadamia exporter, largest chicory exporter, largest mealy meal exporter, and our grapes and pears are in the top 10. We really have a very efficient, very cost-competitive, high levels of research and development agricultural sector. Very, very, very competitive. So once we get into a market, we're actually able to supply that market. And in fact, the only thing that's been tripping us up really has been the logistics. We joke and call it a self-imposed trade barrier. Yeah.
Unfortunately. Wolf, thank you very much for your grace, because also I can hear you're a little bit thirsty. So we're going to let you make it rain on your throat and lubricate your throat.
No.
Thank you very much for your time this evening. Wolf Brody, manager at the Agriculture Business Chamber of South Africa. And that's it from myself and the team as I get flagged to wrap up the show. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. If you missed any of our conversations, moneyweb.co.za. Have yourselves a magic evening.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.